Prayer for bright light. Says, whom does Jesus pray for in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel? Is it just for the 12 disciples? You know, I believe that Jesus is praying for all of His disciples, those believers in Christ. You see, Jesus is on His way. He's returning back to God. He is nearing the end of His earthly ministry. Soon, Judas is going to betray Him, and the events of His last week will quickly pass. With all that He will soon face, Jesus takes time to pray for those who will remain behind and follow His example. He's praying for those disciples that are there, for those people who have become believers, and those disciples like you and I who are yet to come. You see, prayer is essential in our spiritual life to tune in to God's presence in our lives and the world. You see, we should follow God's example by praying for those around us that God will bless them and keep them. You see, too often you and I pray and tell God what we want rather than what we need. You know, we sometimes tell God, you know, God, this is what I want, and this is really what I think I need, and I want you to get it for me. We kind of pray and say, this is how it needs to be. We take our shopping list, as it were, to God as if we were going to the grocery store. In addition, many times we pray to God to continue, then we do what? We just continue on with our busy lives, not taking time to listen for the response that God has for us. How many of you pray on the run? How many of you pray in a hurry? How many of you think about what you're going to do? Sometimes, yes, it's okay to say, you know, Lord, help me right now. I need your, when something happens, you can say a quick prayer. But, you know, God wants us to take time. How many times through the Scriptures did He stop and take time and pull away, go somewhere to a quiet place to pray, to remember, to set aside time, to think about all that was going on, to pray for His disciples, to pray for what was happening in His own life, to pray for those people around Him. So you and I have that example, but we continue to be like those who have the list and say, okay, God, this is what I need, this is what I want. This is what's happening in my life, so fix it. And that's kind of how we go. And we don't take the time to truly pray for, pray about, thank God for the day. How many of you actually think about what God has given you? Think about the beauty of the day that is around you. So many people in the past few weeks have been said, oh my gosh, look how dry it is. It's so dry. And when it rained this week, how many of you thank God for the rain? How many of you thought about it? How many of you said, thank you, Lord? I hear the rain and it sounded so wonderful. To say, thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Even in the dryness, when we didn't have the rain, did you thank God for the beauty around you? You know, there's times that we do. Sometimes we are real good about taking care of everything. We pray for all kinds of things, all kinds of people, everything. We pray for our world, what's happening, what's going on. We just pray. And then sometimes we get very selfish with our prayers because they're not being answered the way we think they should be answered. And then we start, you know, giving God demands, wanting Him to do things our way or not at all. You know, we pray and we don't take time to listen for God to respond. It says, be still and know that I am God. You know, Elijah was feeling very sorry for himself, and when he made his way into that cave that we read about in the Old Testament, and he was moaning and groaning and complaining because God had not taken care of him. And he was just, poor, poor, pitiful me. You know, I'm just going to die out here. No one's preaching. No one's teaching, no one's sharing anything. They're just a bunch of heathens. They're just a bunch of terrible people, Lord. And you know, basically God says to him, shut up. Quit moaning and groaning and complaining. Hush. He says, be still and know that I am God. Calm down, Elijah. Take a little time. Hush. Listen. Sometimes we get so full of telling God what we want and all the things that are going on bad that we don't take time to read God's Word, to study it, and to pray and ask God to reveal something to us. So many of us want God to knock us up beside the head, to stop us, like, get my attention because I'm not paying attention, because we're going so fast and so furious that we don't hear anything, we don't see anything, we don't pay attention. But let me tell you something He does. When we take a moment to sit and listen, when we take a moment to meditate on God's Word, when we take time to truly be in God's Word, and that means turning everything off. That means not looking at your phone. Put that silly thing away for a while. That means turning off all the noise that's around you and getting quiet. And some people say, well, if I get that quiet, I'm going to fall asleep. Because we're so tired. We haven't trained ourselves to do that. We've trained ourselves to do everything else. We've trained ourselves to get up and to get ready and to go and do the things that we have to do. But have we trained ourselves to do the things that God has called us to do as His children? Years ago, as I entered my first year of seminary at Southern in Louisville, Kentucky, Dr. Glenn Henson talked to us about the motion of prayer. He described us as radar receivers intercepting God's love rays. Dr. Henson continued to say that you and I should become transmitters of God's love. In his book, Spiritual Preparation for Christian Leadership, he says, ideally, you should become, as it were, as a step-up transmitter. To become a step-up transmitter of God's love energies, you as a human being made in the image of God would need to let God's love energies flow through you in your prayers and work, and to add some of your own love energies to God's. So in other words, we're supposed to allow God to work, to flow in and through us in our prayers, in our work, in our school, in our play, in all we do. And allow us to add some of our own love energies to God's and lift them up. You see, Jesus is praying for His followers to receive His teachings and to pass these teachings on to others. You see, Jesus tells us in verse 10 that I have been glorified in them. I've been glorified in them, He says. In John 1:5, He states, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In John 8:12, Jesus proclaims that I am the light of the world. The light has come into the world through Jesus, and Jesus passes that light on to His disciples. And you and I are His disciples. We are His children. We are the ones who believe, and we are the ones who go forth and to share our lives each and every day. The amazing truth of Christianity is that the light of the world has continued to burn brightly in the hearts of the faithful for more than 2,000 years. You see, throughout history, people have tried to extinguish the light, but they have not been successful. The light of the world glorifies believers in Jesus Christ so that they may shine brightly in our world. The light passes down from believer to believer, from generation to generation, from those that we share, from believer to believer, as God continues to work in the world around us. Think about that. When was the last time you shared your light, your life, with someone else? The light that was within us, from believer to believer. You see, like prayer, the light of the world increases and we add our love to God's love and share the light with the world. You see, a match that is lit in a very dark forest shines brightly, but only for a very short time. If that match lights a few logs, that light may last a little longer. But when we ignite a few trees, we begin to start a bigger light. Scientists tell us that satellites in outer space can see forest fires, and they take awesome pictures that help in fighting those fires. You know, if we think about how far that is and how wide that is, to know that God is always there, that we need to share God's love with the world. Let the light of Christ shine bright in the darkness. You see, allowing our lights to shine, allowing ourselves to have bright lights, is something that we learn as children. How many of you sang, "This little light of mine"? I'm going to let it shine. It says, "Hide it under a bushel." Oh no, I'm going to let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. All the things that we have done, we've heard that song. That's it. We've heard it from children our whole lives. We're going to let our little light shine. Well, you know, as children, we can learn a great deal from them. We can learn a great deal from the things, because it's not very hard. It's very simple. Jesus tells us that we have to have what? The faith of what? A child. To humble ourselves like a child and come before Him. We have to have the faith of a mustard seed, something so very tiny, something very small. Sometimes we can learn the greatest wisdom, the greatest things from those little people if we pay attention to them. And when they ask us questions, listen to them and answer them truthfully. Don't give them some fairy tale. Talk to them because they're smart. Sometimes they're smarter than you in many ways. They're smarter than me. I know it. I can see it all the time. But we are there to help teach. We're there to help pass along. We are there to be that light that shines in the darkness. So let us let our little light shine. Let us pray.